And that means it's time for the first hour of the Dr. and Mrs. Future program.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the future. Looking back on this last week, man. But before we do that, Mrs. Future is here.
Yes.
And Bobby, I believe Bobby is in San Fran. Bobby, our science correspondent.
Yes.
Good.
Because
I got a message
yes.
from you about some of the Soviet consulate inviting you to their headquarters. No, is that true?
No. It is.
It is. Oh, I mean, Soviet consulate?
Yeah.
Really?
You sure they're not just baiting you for a cyber attack?
Yeah. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later. What does this mean in terms of our security and our cyber systems here? You know.
No, do tell us what you what.
Yeah,
you
what were you doing?
Think
what
is going on?
Yeah.
Well, there in Kharkov, we were invited to look at the largest turbine factory that makes these water turbines for hydroelectric, and they were showing me their most sophisticated computer system at the time.
Wow.
And you know what it was? It was a replica of a PDP-8 from back 20 years earlier in the United States. And they were using that to figure out the angles of the propellers in the turbine.
Yeah.
And they were trying to impress me, you know, because I told them I had an electrical engineering.
What year was this when you were there?
Oh, 1983.
83. So that's going way back. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's true though. I mean, in 1990, I was in Russia and I got a tour of a computer factory, and it wasn't like seeing Intel or anything or Apple. It was more like an old 19th century building with different floors where they did everything from making the cases by hand to little old ladies winding the coils of the transformers.
Yeah,
You know, and it was a 386 processor, which was considered very primitive at the time. It's
So just 30 years ago,
in this country,
Russia was a Potemkin village, pretending to be bigger than it was.
And today, of course, it's come a long way, and now they're in the news again. We had been involved with trying to create contact with Russia back in the 90s.
Yeah, back then it was called the Iron Curtain.
San Francisco Moscow teleport was the beginning of communication.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
you guys were involved with that. Joel
and Diane went to Russia for at least 5 years to send up their first emails for that part of the planet.
And we've had all these decades of relatively Camelot-type opportunities with Russia to act like the good citizens of Earth, that we could all come together in peace. And we haven't lost that dream. Just because some people are still living in the 19th century and they think war is a solution to their vital strategic agendas.
So, we haven't given up hope yet.
No, never give up hope, because we are the authors of our future, and all of us have to believe without a doubt that we're entering a golden age. And
sometimes,
whatever missteps we take on the way because of some people's bad ideas doesn't mean that's not where we're going.
Exactly. Well, in terms of news along those lines, Elon Musk is sending Starlink terminals to the Ukraine.
Yay! We like to have transparency. We like to have open communications channels.
Yeah.
We like the internet to be in the hands of the good people.
Yes. Theoretically, at least, this will allow anybody in the Ukraine to have long-distance access to the world via the internet, high bandwidth, hopefully as much as 500 megabits per second down, and lots of terminals, so better communications.
Yeah, and you can't take out the internet if it's coming from space.
Yeah.
Unless you take out the local transmitter and receiver, of course. But
Well, I guess the question is, where do you put them? I mean, mostly in Ukraine. I don't think anyone's too much in favor of giving any Starlinks to Russia. right?
I think right now everybody's interested in cutting Russia off.
Right.
You know, just punish these bandits for their misdeeds, for their bad attitudes, their unacceptable beliefs.
Well, there's a lot under the surface here. I say there's a lot of friendliness and animosities between those two countries
for centuries. We have to remember that Joe Biden told Putin that he thinks he's the devil. You know, didn't he say that? He was in talks with him, I think, just in the last year, and he said that he thinks Putin is Satan. Something like that. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was kind of shocking.
Well, at least it's Moriarty.
Well, I'll tell you, if you've got somebody like Joe Biden believing that Putin is the devil, then it makes sense that he pits the entire Western world against Putin, no matter what Putin does. And he ignores, you know, the policy of this administration is ignore anything you don't want to hear. And so since the 90s, Putin's been saying, hey, don't let the Eastern Bloc countries join NATO. Don't let the Eastern Bloc countries join the Euro zone. Let Russia participate as an equal partner in the trade zones. And the West has been saying, nah, you have to do what we say. You don't get to tell us what you want. And that's so typical of the way the Western powers are running the world now. We don't listen to the minority interests. We just tell them what to do.
Well, in a way, it's more oligarchs versus billionaires. Oligarchs
well,
are billionaires.
Well, that's true. I mean, we do have to admit
it's a bunch of
organized crime in the positions of power.
Well, you know, if oil is organized crime, maybe, you know, it's just they're legalized organized crime.
Once you have an army, whatever you do is the law, right?
What's legal? It's probably legal, but what's right?
Nothing. No. The international legal system has been under a lot of dismantling for at least since the millennium.
All right, that's a big thing to unpack. Let's get into that at a future show, shall we?
Sure.
Yeah, because there's so much to cover in so little time. And we do have a new solution to some of this, we think, in the second hour. A whole other approach to this,
this
issue that you have not heard yet.
Yes, and I was listening to some analysis of the current Ukrainian situation that was offered at the University of Chicago after the invasion of Crimea.
Yeah.
And it really seems like Russia hasn't changed at all. Russia is basically saying, don't let Ukraine into NATO, because if you do, we'll consider that a threat. And if you try to do it, we're going to ruin the Ukraine. We don't want to rule the Ukraine. We just want to ruin it for the West.
So that you think that's a true narrative?
I do think that's a true narrative. The other thing that this professor said is that the powers in China and Russia are in a 19th century mindset. They're talking about vital national interests like water and power and resources and economic marketplaces. And the West is dominated by what he called the 21st century thinking, which is we want to get to solar power as quick as possible and war is obsolete unless...
Global warming. Yeah, watch out.
Right. So these left and right lobes of consciousness on the planet can't really communicate with each other.
Different priorities.
Yeah. Yeah, so long way to go to create peace and harmony, but that's definitely...
Well, at least they're getting Starlink terminals.
Yeah, that's right. Transparency and the internet.
We can talk about this more. All right.
Think different, people.
We'll be back right after the break. Okay, welcome back to the show. Yes, did you folks see how this war is being covered in detail like never before?
Seemed like a lot of short internet videos for the coverage.
Yeah, I find more on YouTube, on initial search. But I found it was very interesting that Wired did a piece on TikTok and their use as a medium in Ukraine right now.
Oh, that is a great article, I must say.
Yeah, very, very
interesting. Especially those of us who are a little older and maybe not living in the social media universe the way young people are. It really gives you an overview of which social media appeals to which demographic and why TikTok is really the one that
today.
People are going to news.
Remember the Arab Spring 2011? That was Twitter land. That was Twitter and Facebook really shined there for getting information through.
Mm-hmm.
Clips of Syrian children choking from chemical weapons, social media came through later in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad, brought our attention to that. The Taliban's capture of Kabul, live tweeted from homes.
The horrors of the social universe.
Yeah.
I have definitely given rise to the censorship age that we're in some ways.
Well, the current conflict is a little different because of TikTok's transformative effect on the old norms of tech.
Mm-hmm.
It's created a stream of information coming in, the likes of which we've never seen.
Yeah, like, it's pretty overwhelming to the average.
Stuff you would never see on the regular news, like grandmothers saying goodbye to friends. Instructions on how to drive captured Russian tanks.
Well, there you go. A little hard to search for, though. You really have to have mastery of your hashtags.
Well, TikTok, they're working on that. And, you know, I think the Chinese run TikTok, right? So they're going to give people what they want on both sides and see what happens. Now,
doesn't that sound so un-Chinese? When you think of them, they're like central authority, permission to speak kind of people.
You can do those experiments of freedom on others.
Oh, I see. The people in China aren't allowed to just unfettered TikTok, but the Western
world,
sure. Let's see how transparency works.
Yeah, see what happens.
In the schizophrenic cultures where freedom reigns, huh?
Okay. It'd be interesting.
I guess maybe we'll figure out why people prefer a authoritarian control of public opinion.
Well, in this case, it's decentralized authoritarian control. I mean, not everyone controls it. TikTok's success comes down to how visual it is and how instant it is.
Mm-hmm.
Dance crazes, we've watched some of those.
Yeah, it's
right?
Really
new
uplifting.
Steps. Everybody gets the same dance step
people.
Around the planet at the same time. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Storming of the Capitol, the thousands of views on that from many points of view.
Yeah.
The immediacy of it. Now, you know, research intelligence operators are using it, for example, to try to track troop movements right now.
Uh-huh.
And who's
in
where?
Ukraine.
Yeah, the Ukraine, right. Mm-hmm. And they can. They can get a lot of information from TikTok, even more so than from some of the spy satellites.
I love it. Yeah. I really am a believer that transparency is the great equalizer. It gives us back our ability to discern truth from the diversity of opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it's not a one-way street. I mean, the thing that has been the problem with this era of censorship is it's not a two-way transparency. It's sort of like we're being surveilled from secret posts of people who have power over us who don't disclose themselves. And then those of us who are into sharing our information freely with each other are the ones that are being shut down without having any recourse.
Yeah, typically. But TikTok goes into every room in the house. You know, every building practically, except where, you know, internet is not allowed. So it's almost as ubiquitous as plants. You know, and every, you know, wherever there's a smartphone, there's a connection.
Right.
So information is, you know, I wouldn't call it, I'd say the ability of transparency is there, but everyone's still doing their old behaviors of secrecy and lies and stuff. And,
well, it's
but
okay it's all being at the recorded, individual level.
Or a lot of it is now.
Oh.
And granularly accessible by everyone. And
so the playback is where all of the discerning information comes through.
Well, you know, seeing what there is there, you can infer a lot of information as well as direct knowledge.
It's sort of in the metaphor of the intelligence of the human consciousness. It's the difference between, like, your eyes and your ears and your senses, which are picking up as much information as they can, mm-hmm. versus your memory, which is making recordings of the things that are the most significant for review later.
Some of which come from the videos that you're watching.
Right. Repetition. Yeah, repetition
well,
and intensity
yeah,
give you your memory.
The videos are good also because you can study the data coming from that part of the world in detail, mm-hmm. frame by frame. If it's edited, you can tell more easily if you're an editor. You'll be able to discern the truth on issues by having more information to sift through.
Sure. As we become a more media literate people.
So I think TikTok is leading to a potential for a true transparency on a planetary scale. Bobby, what do you think?
Yeah, it looks.
You like TikTok? I mean, you've been trying.
I've never tried TikTok.
Oh, good. Well, you can do a little experiment here. Maybe with some of our KSEO listeners who may be interested in joining us on this exploration.
Yeah.
You have some kind of experiment in mind?
Yeah,
what are you inviting people to do?
I think a little TikTok club online experience. We get together on Zoom once a week and talk about our adventures with TikTok.
Okay. So I guess maybe we'll have to put a little bit of thought into this. Maybe next week we can
do a report
invite
on it.
People
right.
Show up.
Yeah, because my understanding is that this is giving us granular access to the species. It's kind of like having small neural endings in your skin. Mm-hmm. You can feel even the smallest areas with it.
So you want to have a TikTok talk show?
A TikTok report. I think it's a clue to time travel, to tell you the truth, but that's just a theory.
Okay.
So this is reporting from the edge, I guess.
Yeah, from actually our experiment, because we are experimental beings, you know, that's our nature. Yeah. So let's give us ourselves a context for play.
All right, how are we going to do this? What's our plan?
Just send us an email at future@ksco.com, and let us know if you're interested in our little TikTok report, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, would you like to hear from Ben in Capitola?
Sure.
Hi, Ben. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Hey, Ben. Are you there?
It's a little hard to hear you. Can you speak loudly?
It sounds like you're underwater.
Yeah. Do you have a good connection?
I recognize TikTok there.
Oh, dear. I wish we could hear
you.
Can you
try another connection, Ben?
We can't hear you at all. Do you want to try and call back? Maybe we'll get a better line.
Or get outside on the rooftop or out on the street or something that could improve your signal. No, it's still muffled, very muffled.
We can't understand you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yes, future@kseo.com. Try sending
Yeah, send us a line. Send us a note. In fact, if you send that, we can read it.
Okay, good. We don't have a lot of time here, so there's a lot of other things I want to cover with this and related to this. There's also a very interesting piece in The Atlantic on what Americans should do to prepare for Russian cyber attacks.
Oh, yeah, that was very interesting.
I put a link to that as well. Mm-hmm. Russians, they claim, have taken hacking to an art form and that we just might feel it probably in our pocketbooks. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they're going to go after our bank accounts with identity theft.
Yeah, before I get into all the scary elements of that, I recommend updating your passwords as soon as possible.
Yeah, Google gives you a good list of all your compromised passwords and lets you go in and change them if it's not too late, if you're not already being spied upon.
Yeah, and Google gives you a list of passwords that have been stolen that you still use, mm-hmm. you know, when you go to your passwords folder.
So go do your Google security check and take an hour or so of your time and update all of your compromised passwords.
And then you'll be able to laugh at this article.
Yeah.
You're safe.
Because then, you know, once you update your passwords, then pretty much all you have to worry about is the interruption of your physical infrastructure. And, you know, that's the same as in an earthquake. You want to make sure you got some water, maybe a little extra cash so you don't have to do a run on the ATM.
Yeah, and all that good stuff.
You know,
and it's nice, to know that your bank account hasn't been hacked.
Yeah, well, the banks have been dealing with this for a while.
Well, yeah, they're a little ahead of the game. That's true. The banks actually pay extra special attention to this.
Yeah, which is why so much of this response to the Ukrainian crisis is about kicking Russia off of the banking system. Right?
Well, that's a good theory, Mrs. Future, and probably some merit to it. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that, but it reframes everything if you think of it just in terms of the financial structure, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Tell me what you mean.
Well, like when I think of money, I think, who are the players, right? And so you've got governments, and also you have rich multinational corporations and rich individuals, mm-hmm. and some people who are power players behind the scene that aren't financially rich. They have what they need, but they like power in other forms. Mm-hmm. And then you have some people, like I would say Putin, who controls many of these different realms or has access to many of them.
Sure. So money is power, and power is money.
Yeah, and money, you're talking about the dollar. in this case, and like the whole thing between the dollar and the, if we're hearing on mainstream media that the ruble is now less than a penny.
Yeah, it's 30% right. down, which means yeah. the ruble used to be less than 2 pennies 30%? By a lot. Now it's less than 1 penny.
Well, wait a minute. I thought it was 30 times. I mean,
30 when I, was in,
I thought
when
they I was said 30%.
Hey, Bobby, what are you saying?
Well, when I was there in 1983, ruble was $1. And today, if you go to the exchange rate, it's 0.01, which means it's 1 cent to the dollar.
Hmm. So that was before all this crisis, because now it's less than 1 cent to a dollar.
Does that mean you need 100 bills out of those ATM machines in order to get a dollar?
That's right. Yeah.
Well. And you just can't buy that much in Russia anyway. So.
Well, you can actually, you know.
Okay. We have 30 seconds left, and Ben called back. Let's see if we can hear him, okay?
We can keep him on until after the break.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. So can you hear me now?
Hey, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. We're going to hold you on through the break if you don't mind.
We got to do the news break, and we'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay. Yeah. We'll be right back. Good. Thanks for everything. And here's some music for you.
Welcome back to The Dream. So, Mrs. Future, we have somebody from the outside.
We have Ben in Capitola.
Capitola.
Hi, right. Ben.
Hey, Ben. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, you sound much better now. Really, we got you. Okay, all I could hear from you was TikTok. Now, what were you saying?
Oh, well, it seems like we're in the first, maybe not the first, but it this seems like a social media war in the sense that I was struck by how many alternative and just local web streams I was accessing in order to gain some impressions of the invasion that had occurred.
Oh, yeah? Huh.
Do tell. Which streams right, so were you accessing?
There's literally thousands of streams on YouTube.
Yeah.
People just who are there on the ground, independent news sites. I mean, there's all kinds of...
You name it, wherever people have their phones.
I don't...
Right. So you were piecing it together from diverse original sources.
Yeah. So what did you find interesting?
I think that's a big difference between how it used to be. Because, for example, if you think back to, say, like the war in Iraq when the U.S. invaded, most of the information that you could garner came from about four sources, NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox, you know.
Right.
And now we literally have, I think, millions of sources or, you know, thousands, hundreds at least. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's that's different. That is
many to many.
Yeah, fractalized.
So, on the one hand, it's harder for perhaps a narrative to emerge, on the one hand, which in some ways could be great if the narrative turned out to be, you know, evil or false. Mm. But then it's also... you know, not so great if the narrative actually was something helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know, what we've gained, what we've lost.
Well, that's a really interesting point, because vetting the information is still the difficulty when you have so many voices that are putting in their 2 cents, right? But one thing that I learned from this article about TikTok that I didn't know is that it very much tries to keep the social media local. And it doesn't necessarily promote messages to markets outside of the local vicinity. And so one of the sources of original Ukrainian coverage of the attacks going on was a Ukrainian girl in London who was reposting things in the London market. And, you know, she did that to the point where she got canceled. But it was very insightful about the fact that social media makes it very difficult to know what the original source is. And with so many people posting, you know, you've got millions of live reports coming in all at once, trying to vet the ones that match a particular narrative and sort out the ones that don't is something beyond any human capacity, I would say. So we need new tools.
Yeah, for sure. Also, speaking of narratives, not to defend Putin, but I think there's two sides to every story. And although I don't agree with his incursion into the Ukraine, we can't pretend like the West, through NATO and through other back channels, didn't provoke him.
Sure.
I'd say everybody in this equation is opportunistic.
Yeah. And there does seem to be a much larger agenda that's on board. And it seems like Putin was saying, hey, don't put your NATO bases in the Ukraine because that's my backyard. And if you do, I'm going to have to do something about it. And he's been saying that for 30 years. And we've got the Western democracies right now all uniting in some kind of lockstep that democracy is now the new totalitarianism in the West, and we don't listen to people who disagree with our narrative, and we just expect people to have acceptable ideas, and if they're unacceptable, we just crowd them out of the conversation, and that seems to be happening now to Putin.
Yeah, this raises another issue, the specter of the potential that cryptocurrency has. Mm-hmm. Especially for someone like Russia, who, as far as the narrative concerned, or at least one narrative, is calling them like a rogue state or something. But the potential for cryptocurrencies could really help a country that does want to go rogue, and it could be for moral reasons if they wanted to, you know, disassociate themselves from the Western shenanigans.
It is kind of interesting.
Bypass the central bank.
Yeah.
Very interesting point of view.
Yeah. I think it's fortunate that crypto is available to all.
Yes, it seems to be widely distributed.
No one group can control it.
Yeah, and the people.
And if it does happen, then that hopefully this form of crypto will be replaced by something better, because crypto is an evolving target too. I think it's all mutating and evolving as we move into the future, and it'll get more secure, and all these things will just be happening because that's what we really want.
Sure. Yeah, we want our tools to help us become more honest and more transparent and more discerning, not more corrupt. So we've got to transcend the current era of corruption.
Yeah, and hopefully avoid these cautionary tales as we evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just one final point.
Yeah.
I find it frustrating that we're still, with all the decentralization that potentially exists and has happened through various spheres and things like that, it still frustrates me that we have a few individuals whose decisions affect literally millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah.
How could we create a system, assuming that we could? I don't think we can, actually. I think the only way is actually through a kind of mass awakening within each individual somehow that extends to everybody.
Yeah, well, that
I believe in that. I'm on that bandwagon.
Sort of heading in that direction. But meanwhile, maybe biological metaphors, maybe that might be good models for understanding, you know, how we're reorganizing. In a sense, the phones in every person's hand is like a sixth sense or a seventh sense, you might call it, that includes a lot of information that we exchange with each other.
And intuition amplification.
Yeah, and it's being exchanged on a planetary scale. So some kind of species-wide nervous system might be a good metaphor.
And then also with that, perhaps all weapons in the future can be programmed so that the only people that can use them have good intentions, in which case they would never be used.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. Well, what if all weapons turn into love rays?
Yeah, the weapon shops of Isher, man. The weapon shops.
Especially nuclear weapons. Something's got to be done with that, you know, because it's a real, like, pain in the ass in the sight of humanity still. So
well, it's a big universe, and maybe I think banishment might be a common form of dealing with this.
Oh, just like in the old tribe. If people act antisocial and they harm someone and they act unjust or mean, then the remedy is for the tribe to banish them so they have to exist without social reinforcement.
You're banished to the outer rim.
That's kind of what's happening to Russia, right? The Western world is trying to banish them. So Anyway, all right, Ben, thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah, appreciate
good
your,
stuff.
Right, thanks, your stimulation here. That's great.
We have another caller.
Okay, let's go to another caller.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay, let's say hello to Colonel Terry. Hi, Colonel Terry.
Yeah, hi, boys and girls. A previous caller said that NATO had provoked Putin, and I was disappointed none of you said, how the hell did NATO provoke Putin?
Well, I think that's kind of historic. If you, I mean, people have been saying that since the Crimean War. People have been saying that NATO was almost dead because they didn't have a reason for being anymore, and that Russia's been saying, don't put any NATO forces on my doorstep. That's kind of like Cuba to us. You know, we don't want to have a Bay of Pigs in the Ukraine, and the West has been insisting that the Ukraine could join our Western alliances if they wanted. That conversation has been a non-starter.
First of all, a total non sequitur, and you're educated enough to know what that means, to relate Bay of Pigs to Putin's invasion of Ukraine and rationalizing that is worse than a non sequitur. Those aren't the facts. Those aren't history. Those aren't modern reality.
I'm saying those are modern perspectives about the framing of the argument.
And they're erroneous as hell to an informed person. Putin is the aggressor. Putin is a dictator. Putin is a murderer of innocent people.
I agree with all of those things. I'm not pro-Putin. I'm just saying that, as in all conflicts, there are multiple perspectives. And all the perspectives need to be represented, not just the ones on the team that you're playing for.
Nobody did anything to provoke Putin to engage in a vicious, unfair, unjust attack on Ukraine.
Well, you can say that, but, you know, if you think of Putin saying since the Crimea War and since the 1990s and since the end of the Soviet Union, as long as you don't put weapons on our doorstep, then we will try to engage peacefully in the emerging economic system of the world. And the West saying, well, you know, we're going to let the Ukrainians do what they want, and it's not up to you, Mr. Putin. So it's just interpreted differently. It's interpreted differently by dictators versus non-dictators.
Well, before we get into all this, Colonel Terry, I'm kind of curious. Do you subscribe at all the idea that Putin might have lost it? That he's
oh, no question about it.
Yeah, because
he and Trump suffer from the same pathology, frankly.
Which one? Narcissism?
Narcissism and sociopathy towards others and paranoia, all three.
What is it, do you think, that provoked him to act right now of all times in history? I mean, is it just that every February he gets a bug in his bonnet?
Well, according to some of our intelligence reports, the guy has wanted to be Catherine the Great and Ivan the Terrible for decades. And he's wanted to restore the Soviet Empire.
Well, people say that about him, but I think his personality is explainable by a much less grandiose point of view. He just doesn't want weapons in the Ukraine because that's too close. It's a buffer zone. It's not a...
There were no weapons in mass numbers placed in Ukraine. And in fact, the Ukraine got rid of nukes that the Soviets forced them to have. We didn't move forces forward in Poland either.
Well, I suppose you're right. And I'm not really this kind of military analyst. I'm much more of the kind of person that tries to listen to people's voices and make sense of it. I heard the publisher of The Nation talk about how for decades Putin has been the adult in the room and how the West has been holding a losing hand but double downing on it. And you have to really be able to hear that point of view and not demonize people who describe their vital national interests differently than we do.
Putin has no national interest to invade or threaten the West, not Lithuania, not Estonia, not Latvia, not anywhere, and especially not Ukraine. He stole the Crimea from them by force of arms, and he's engaged in a rebellion of Russian speakers and smuggled in Russian troops that's killed 14,000 Ukrainians in the last 8 years or so.
The way that the country of Ukraine seems to be divided is like, if you think of the United States being the West of the West and China being the East of the East, Russia and all of its satellites are the border between, right? If you go from west to east. And they have border problems. And Ukraine especially has a lot of people who on the eastern side feel very Russian in their loyalties, and on the western side feel very European in their loyalties. And it's very easy for opportunists to exploit those differences. Just like in this country, it's very easy to exploit the differences between the rich and the poor.
And even the Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine do not want to be invaded by Putin's army and Russified.
Yeah, nobody wants to be invaded. I agree with that. War is the big violation that everybody can agree on. We don't want violence.
We don't want invasion. Well, how would you stop Putin, madam? How would you stop him now?
Well, if he's what if he was the devil? How would you stop him?
There you go. That's what Joe Biden says. How do you stop the devil?
You got to have strategies for different scenarios here.
We got to go to a break.
Anyway, we got other things we got to do, but appreciate
it. Colonel Terry.
Terry, you're always help explain things in a different light.
We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We got a number of callers on the line. We got a completely different show for the second hour. So we're going to try to cover a lot of ground in a short period of time. But I wanted to mention that the USA Freedom Truck Convoy is underway. And as you can imagine, this whole Ukraine focus has affected it a little bit. And there was a branch of the truckers that stopped in Chicago for a pro-Ukraine rally. So there has been a mutation of the whole trucker convoy thing that I can see. There are still two groups going to Washington, D.C. I'm not sure what the count on the trucks are at this point.
They say it's like 30 miles long.
Yeah, at one point it was 30 miles long and heading still towards D.C. Mm-hmm. It should arrive by this weekend.
Yeah.
So by next week we should have some more exciting, juicy news on that front.
That's right. And these are people dedicated visualizing peace, visualizing freedom, visualizing a return to a world not dominated by the mandates of our elitist leaders.
Yeah, there's an activation frequency for change. It changes words a little bit from the freedom convoy to the peace convoy. The issue that's coming out now is the Ukraine and focus on peace there. So
yeah, it's easy to marginalize anybody who's on the opposite side if you believe in adversaries. But if you believe in peace, you really need to listen to everybody.
So peace and love. And let's take our colors.
Okay, the board is lit. So everybody, you get 1 minute, okay? We're going to start with Flinks from Aptos. I get your name right?
Flinks.
Hi, Flinks.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just calling. What is the difference? Mine's real quick. What is the difference between what the United States did, or how we established the United States by conquering the Native Americans and conquering England to take this, and England conquered their territory to get what they want? So in a sense, I'm not making an excuse for Putin, but he's just acting like all humans have ever acted when they wanted to conquer land and take stuff.
Well, it's
and
mostly
so, like,
been
why
like
is
that,
he a scourge? Why is he a scourge? He sees a weakness. If you're weak and someone wants to improve their improve their real estate or whatever, maybe in today's world you're not supposed to do that, but why? Why? Then we should give up everything we took.
Well, I think
Flinks.
Yeah, I think the idea is that we've evolved beyond war. We can create an abundant universe where everybody has lots of everything and not fighting over scraps, which is typically what humanity has done. You know, fighting over resources. We don't need to do that anymore. We've evolved, and the mentality is still survival. So we have to evolve the species mentality to go out of survival mode into a higher level of awareness, which is what we have, and that's what our tools reflect. What TikTok is going to be part of, the internet, etc. It's part of a species intelligence evolving.
Anyway, thanks, Flinks. We're going to go real fast here to the next people.
Okay.
So it's Downtown Al. Hi, Al.
Hey, Downtown Al.
Hey, folks. I'm really happy to see that you, Mrs. Future, have what is called strategic empathy. And there's a Canadian out of Toronto named Michael Millerman, and he's translated the works of an Alexander Dugin, who talks about Eurasianism. And I guess he's suddenly become very popular because this was kind of a neglected field. But it explains some of the motivations, you know, the attachment to the Crimean Peninsula from all the Russian blood that was shed there, its strategic importance, the close relationship that Russia and Ukraine have always had. That, you know, they say the difference between Ukraine, you know, Ukrainian speech and Russian is similar to like the Quebecois French and the, you know, continental French.
Yeah, well put.
It's very closely related. And I think it's important for us to understand this sort of strategic empathy. It's like what motivates a person to do something, even if it is something that's bad. And I'm really saddened by the whole thing, the death on both sides. And I wish we had a really much closer relationship with Russia. Yeah. And I've actually envisioned the idea of having a channel across the Bering Strait. And then we could travel all the way from England through Norway or someplace like this, all the way to Alaska and Canada and down to the U.S. Wouldn't that be cool?
What a ride.
Be great. Yeah. A world without enemies. Definitely. Yeah. Maybe that would be great.
We'll get Elon Musk working on that.
Because, you know, the Russians have so much to offer, they do, and they have suffered so much over centuries.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me that this might be a continuation of this. And we do need to understand what's going on and why they feel threatened and that there needs to be negotiations. Maybe NATO shouldn't be right next door. Yeah. I don't know. There needs to be guarantees about that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
Deeply ingrained in the Russian psyche after having Napoleon's armies march into there and, you know, all the strife across that central plateau, you know, that goes all the way from Germany into Russia.
And not to Operation Barbarossa everyone with the being entitled Nazis. To peace under democracy. You know, not to undermine the Ukrainians that want to be aligned with the Western world and our ideas that freedom comes from the people. I mean, we definitely want all the people in the world to get everything they deserve, and nobody should live under a totalitarian regime that treats them like slaves or cannon fodder. We want humanity to all flourish together.
Yes, and, you know, I think the West has been meddling around in the Ukraine and with not a whole lot of respect for both the Ukrainians and also the concerns of the Russians.
Yeah, and I agree. I think all sides are opportunistic, you know, and they just...
They are.
Yeah.
And there's big players that are enemies to all of us, international banks and oil companies and everything else you can think about.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
thank you. I really salute you for talking about, you know, you got to analyze both sides, even if one side's done something bad. And it just saddens me, the unnecessary death.
I'm with you, Al. I'm so sad at this turn of events. It feels like another 9-1-1. Like, when will we be ready for peace? I'm so ready.
Well, maybe this is what it takes to break through.
Thanks, Al. We got to keep running.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate your call. Okay, we now have Steve in Seaside. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, when I was in Santa Rosa, I used to make a fool of myself at the city council meetings. Once, the sister city of Santa Rosa and Santa Rosa exchanged gifts in that council meeting, and I noticed a weird chemistry. They gave us a handmade, hand-whittled American eagle in pieces. In other words, you had to plug the wings in to make it even look like an eagle. It was like, here's your eagle. We just took off your wings. Now what you going to do? And our gift to them was a redwood carved ashtray, as if to suggest, now that you're on the ash heap of history, here's a place to put it. So there's this vicious antagonism going on behind the scenes we don't know about.
But
having said that, Putin is using fear. Putin is using evil, and he's cashing in on the American people's silliness and weakness. They know for a fact that we will turn our back and turn our coat and turn our back on everything we hold valuable. How do they know this? We're not standing up to Stephen King when we should be.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
What do I know? So you really believe this could be the devil incarnate?
I'm sorry. I appreciate your perspective, Steve.
What would Stephen King do?
Yes, it's good to know.
He would play
and
with
we
the devil.
Have 1 minute left.
Sure.
I think we're going to squeeze in one more caller before we go to our guests and Bobby and everybody else who's still here. This is Kelly in Santa Cruz. Oh, wait. I think this is our guest for the next hour, one of them.
Oh,
is that right? Hi, Kelly.
Hi, it's Marianne Antoinette, Kelly. Yes, hi.
Okay.
We're bringing you on right after
Antoinette
the news.
Kelly, welcome to the show. We're going to bring you right back. And I believe we also have Karen on the line. I'm so happy to hear from both of you.
These are our guests for the next
hour,
folks.
That's right. Yeah. So, people, this first hour went so fast. And anything you want to say as we head out the door here?
Yeah,
I think
our next guest may have some new perspectives in how to deal with all these crises that are facing us, not just on a global scale, but all the way down to the personal.
And we will welcome Karen Noe and Marie Antoinette Kelly, who are going to talk to us about the Angel Quest Oracle.